almost says Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We had a old Scottish preacher in California that used to travel. And he would always, on occasion when he stood to preach, make this statement. Before he said a thing, he said, let's take a look at the book. So let's take a look at the book, amen? I want to call your attention to the book of Hebrews. Most scholars, most theologians, would tell you that the book of Hebrews is the most difficult book in all of the New Testament. It covers so much. It is a book where you can learn much about Old Testament practice. It's a book where you can learn much about Christ and his relationship to God and his relationship to us. In chapter 2 of Hebrews, we have a beautiful portrait of Christ. I want to read verse 8. It says, but we see Jesus, verse 8, thou hast put all things, listen very carefully, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, think very carefully about what he's saying, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Christ came to earth, lived 33 years on the earth, did miracles, taught many, showed incredible love and compassion to others. He went to the cross and died. That gave him victory in one area, Satan. The victory over the rest of his domain will not come until after he comes again. And he will be King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, and ruler over all. The Bible says all things have not become subject unto him. We see that that's true. But then verse 9 makes this splendid statement. We haven't seen that happen quite yet. Do you see what he's saying here? We haven't seen that all of those things are under him yet. But Paul says, we see Jesus. I love that statement. Because when we look at him, though it may not be complete, we know that someday, because we see him, all things will be complete in him. We see Jesus. Paul, writing here, and by the way, I'm sorry for saying that, but I believe Paul wrote it. Hebrews, many don't know or don't want to say, but it's so Pauline that I think he did. And if I get to heaven, I'm wrong. I will admit it, I promise. But what he's trying to say to us is, take the shackles off. Because the moment you got saved, your viewpoint changed. You literally, we walk by faith, not by sight, amen? But here our faith is talked about like sight. We see Jesus. And every person sitting here, everyone sitting here, who has received him as their Savior, you see Jesus. When Moses had done all that he had done, left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, the Bible says. He didn't fear the wrath of the king because the Bible says he saw him who is invisible. When Joshua was about to take the people and conquer the Canaan land, the captain of the host showed up and said, Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. We see Jesus. We see Jesus as our Savior. No prophet can do that. The Bible here clearly states that no angel can do that. What about a very good man? No, not even a good man could do that. We need a sinless man. When Jesus walked onto the sea, all the people noticed him coming. And John especially. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He saw Jesus. When Lazarus was in the grave, Mary and Martha were so concerned about what was happening. They called out to Christ, and he said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Where is he? He said. He's buried. Jesus went over to that burial place and said, Lazarus, come forth. And being bound, can't you see this? He bound and closed, jumping out. He gets out and he sees Jesus, the only one that had power to do that. We see Jesus. We see Jesus for our salvation. We see Jesus for our forgiveness. Only he can forgive. Only he can pardon. Only he can remove the state of sin. Only Jesus. When the three disciples were on the mount with Christ, and Moses and Elijah appeared, Peter wanted to build three altars. He didn't get the picture yet. Moses and Elijah left. And they all heard this voice from heaven. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. They saw Jesus. When we, near the end of our earthly pilgrimage, and some of us are nearer than others, when we finally reach that last destination in our life, and we close our eyes and we will open our eyes and see Jesus. That, to me, is overwhelming. And Paul put this little phrase, we see Jesus. There's just three things in this passage that I want to share with you as a servant. The first is this. Death was conquered because we met Jesus. Look at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. He came to earth and took upon human form that was lower than the angels. He suffered shame that was lower than the angels. He had no place to lay his own head, no bed, no pillow for his head. He slept on the ground. That's lower than the angels. But what the angels could not do is walk that road to the cross, go to the cross, and shed their blood, and pay the sin debt for everyone. Only Jesus could do that. The verse says, he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Only he could do that. And once he paid the sin debt, the next part of the verse says that God crowned him with glory and honor. What God did was God saw what he was doing on the cross. You have to get this connection. God saw what he was doing on the cross and saw that it was going to be efficacious for everyone that would need to be saved. And all heaven glory and praised God for the Son who died. And God laid upon Christ for that sacrificial pardon his crown of glory. He was crowned with glory and honor. Why? Listen to this verse. That by the grace of God, he should taste death for every man. Not only death was conquered, but here's the second thing we just mentioned. How was it done? How was this accomplished? Christ tasted death for every man. Why do you think the writer used the word taste? In Greek history, many of the Greek philosophers were put to death because people got tired of hearing their philosophy. Socrates was condemned to death. And as he waited in the room, several of his followers came and tried to comfort him, literally tried to cheer him up. The guy's going to be killed. So, at the very last, they brought in a cup mixed with wine and hyssop. Hyssop was a poisonous branch. When it was mixed in a drink, death was sure. It happened quickly. The word tasted here pictures the hemlock drink tasting death. Did you ever wonder why Jesus said Father, I pray that this couple would pass for me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I'm willing to drink the dregs in order to pay the sin for mankind. He tasted death. But it says more than that. It says he tasted death for every man. You can't change what that says. The atonement is not limited. The atonement is unlimited. That does not, however, mean that everybody will be saved, because they won't. Those that come to Christ will be saved. Those that do not will not be saved. Even though Christ paid for their sin, they're going to reject the Savior. And it says he died for the sins of all, every single individual. He tasted death for every man. He tasted death for me. He tasted death for you. He tasted death for every person ever born of woman or ever that will be born. He tasted death for every man. He became sin for us. Who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God. How did we become righteous? He was made sin for us. He tasted death for every man. What did that taste like? It tasted like abandonment. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It tasted like soul death. The Bible says that Christ suffered not only the terrible pain of a crucifixion, but he suffered the terrible agony of taking upon him the sins of the world. It tasted like perdition. He suffered what everyone will suffer if they do not know. People will die and go to hell. People will die and suffer. And Christ suffered for them. And yet they will reject him. But it tasted complete. All God's people said. Last words on the cross. It is finished. Tetelestai. Completely done. Nothing more to be done. Death was conquered. How was it accomplished? He tasted. What was the purpose? Look down at verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory. I love that phrase. To make the captain of their salvation perfect who suffered. I thought Jesus was perfect. He was. This isn't saying that he was imperfect and he had to suffer in order to be perfect. That's not what it's saying. Well, it says perfect through suffering. That's right. The word perfect means complete. And his work on earth was not complete until he died on the cross. And let me suggest also, until he got up 3 days later. Yeah. Then he taught for 40 days, went out to the Mount of Olives, and went into heaven, ascended. And those disciples were looking around, trying to get a last glimpse. The angel appears and says, "See, men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." He's coming back with power and great glory. This verse tells us the purpose of all this, that he may bring many sons to glory. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The moment you get saved, you become a new person with a new address, a new father, new brothers and sisters, all sons and daughters of God. He's going to bring many sons to glory. And listen, they've been coming for years and years. Now over 2,000 years, folks have been coming to meet the Christ, the one who paid their sin debt, the one who pardoned them. They've come. They've become sons of God. And many now have parted from us, and they are now in heaven, rejoicing in their sonship, praising the God of heaven and the Christ who saved them, day in, day out. And folks, someday we'll get to take part. I'm amazed. These two little verses speak so much, tell us so much. Christ died for the purpose of bringing many sons to glory. The word many, there, we would use it like, how many New Jersey Mike sons have you had? Many. Well, it's not like that. It means more than you can count. More than you can number. Many. 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 Our deliverance happened because Jesus came. And we see him as alive today as he was when he was walking on the earth. Someday the veil will be removed and we will see him personally. All God's people said. Lord, bless us. Bless this. Thank you for this message. Thank you for your love for us. God, may we serve you and love you for your deliverance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.